It is hour number three of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. We pick out the stems and seeds at 2:45 with an MLB playoff update. At 2:30, why do October 17th and 18th matter? A bunch of notable birthdays, including one of my all-time favorite Amazonians. And in mere minutes, it's our weekly chat with the great Joe Cook of Inside Texas on 3 and the 1-0 podcast. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Hour number three on a Monday. And if you're a fan of our two big circuses around here, you have very different feelings about your two teams. If you're a Cowboys fan, you found a way to get a win in New England despite the fact that Dak Prescott threw 51 balls. Does everybody realize that? The two running backs combined for 27 carries. He threw 51 passes. Trey, that's the worst formula. For me, as a Cowboys fan, we always talk about it. When they run more than they pass, it's 27 or 28-0 with Dak. I never would have thought that number could have existed, and they actually win the game. But they won the game. Big win. On the other side of things...
This harkens back to them having to get in shootouts with teams that they were clearly better than talent-wise last year, but finding themselves down because the defense was sucking.
Yeah, that's true. The defense is picking it up, helping out. Special teams play was big, too. So that's the good side of it. But if you also are a Longhorn fan, you're trying to figure out why, even though the day itself was beautiful on Saturday, what a perfect day for football. It was not a perfect game for the Longhorns by any stretch. Let's get into more Longhorn conversation with our normal Monday interview on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. We do it every week about this time. Joe Cook of Inside Texas and On3.com. He's at JosephCook89 on Twitter, and he was over at the 40 Acres today for the Sark Press Conference. Joe, how are you?
Doing great, guys. Thanks again for having me on.
Of course, man. We always appreciate the time. So this was a departure today. Most of the coaches we've dealt with at Texas have not done the off-week press conference. Now, the players didn't have to show up. What'd you make of Coach Sark in the off-week? What was the feel of it today on a Monday after, obviously, a game that didn't go their way?
Well, a lot of the questions were about, you know, what the mental psyche, I guess, of the team after losing another fourth quarter lead and another really close game. I looked it up, and if you check my piece I wrote yesterday on Inside Texas, I kind of asked the question, is Texas a fragile team? And, you know, since 2017, a bunch of games have been played by these Longhorn players that are one possession games, 30 actually. And then you go ahead and add some games, you know, that may be 10-point games, 8-point games, 9-point games, stuff like that. You know, just outside that one possession threshold, we know there are a handful of those too. So this is a team that's been just dragged through tough, you know, emotional drawstrings over and over and over. But you know, that's one thing to go ahead and have all that, and then you go ahead and add that they drop these leads. That's another thing. So that was a big topic today. Of course, just kind of figuring out what Steve Sarkisian's process is during the bye week and, you know, as he starts to get ready for Baylor, that type of thing was also on topic today. But, a lot of what's being was asked about today was about, you know, what's going on, I guess, inside the helmet instead of what's going on outside of it.
It's great to wonder about how fragile this team is. Joe, is this football team a little bit too physically weak?
You know, I another thing I put in my piece is, like, I don't – it's hard for me to call any team soft. Like, I punted when I played high school football, so I don't – you know, I don't know the rigors of what they have to deal with. And, of course – you know, these guys go at it 5 days a week, but we don't see for 12 Saturdays. So I'm struggling to think that this team is soft. It shows up, at some points, but I don't see that here.
Just to be clear, Joe, I actually think there's a distinction between soft and physically weak. I think this team wants to get it done at the point of attack. I've seen three different times now versus Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Oklahoma State where it just seems like they're consistently being out-physicaled, not just along the lines of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, but at a lot of other positions as well. So I don't know if it's a softness thing as much as it is like legitimately them being physically weaker than good competition.
I think we're on the same page, but and a lot of that has to do with how the game goes. If you have three and out after three and out after three and out, and you know, you can march whoever out there, but those legs are going to be tired. And that's why the first half success or the lack of success Oklahoma State had running the ball the first half flipped dramatically in the second half when Texas could not give its defense time to rest. So, this is one of the best chicken or the egg arguments you can find in football, I guess. Is it the strength and conditioning, or is it the events of the game? And I will admit, this isn't something we saw on a regular basis from, teams previously under Yancey McKnight when he was strength coach. And, of course, every strength coach has somewhat different philosophies, but at least, I can point to the, Arkansas game, them just getting run at by a successful, running offense and a team ramped up for it. And then with Oklahoma, it's the same thing as like with Oklahoma State, that the offense being unable to get it going in the fourth quarter or in the third quarter even just doesn't help defense at all. So it's tough for me to think that they're physically weak. I think what we've seen with the defensive line is, and especially both the defensive line and the offensive line, is that they're not as super talented as we think they may be or we see them expected. I think the highest rated guy on the Texas offensive line, I think, is Junior Onguelau. And then you go ahead and throw the concern that he came from a triple option offense. Now that's, high school, but it's not like these are, top 50 players in the country on the offensive line who are just, not showing up. It's kind of who we expect them to be when you look at those recruiting rankings. And I think that's why recruiting is so important, and Texas has to figure it out some way in this upcoming offseason and turn the tide with those offensive line issues.
Talking with Joe Cook of Inside Texas. Joe, I think it can get maddening for fans sometimes when you were just talking about the close games and how many they've played. I think that can sometimes be more maddening than if you just got blown out. Stem to stern, you get just whipped. It's one thing, it's like, okay, all right, you just got tore up. But this team will give you these flashes, especially obviously on offense. Two of the touchdown drives on Saturday didn't even require a third down. Like, they're moving, they're shaking, they're doing things, they're scoring, and they're giving the fans that belief. Give me an idea from your perspective. What's the biggest difference between, a drive that's got 26 yards and 13-yard touchdown from Bijan, or a 38-yard touchdown from Bijan? What's the difference between that and then four drives in that fourth quarter range that started with nothing on first down? Are you seeing any big differences you can point out?
I think you're seeing loaded boxes because there's a lack of respect for the downfield passing game. And I think part of that has to do with, if I know y'all saw this, Casey Thompson had a wrapped thumb, which I'm sure made some effect, but not enough effect for him to leave the game. But you start watching those last drives, there's a lot of Oklahoma State defenders in the box, a lot of them, basically begging Texas to try and push the ball downfield, and they didn't. It just simply was not able to happen. So that's kind of where I see it happening. They make that halftime adjustment. Oklahoma State does. They're helped by the defense they're helped by an offense that got the running game going. They're helped by a defense that shut things out, and that defense, coordinated by Jim Knowles, who called a great game, they were just able to figure out that, if there's not going to be a big threat down the field, then let's just dedicate numbers to the rushing attack and hope our defensive backs can hold up if they're challenged. And they just really weren't challenged.
Yeah, and that's – It was such a tough stretch. After 24-13, just not to get anything going at the beginning of those drives. Talk about the kind of the Bijan problem, because he clearly is their substance right now. But we were talking about it earlier and trying to make the comparison with him. And obviously the last Heisman winner was Ricky. You think about all these great running backs. Man, they're not blocking well enough to just get him going. So are there other things you would advise that they do? We saw that very first play where they're running him in motion. Is it a lot of that? Is it just more of those kind of plays and then mixing in the runs? How do you make sure he stays engaged?
Bijan Robinson himself, you just got to improve blocking. I don't know how that's possible, and I can't think of a more intricate answer. Sometimes it's as simple. They need to be better blocking up front. Mm-hmm. And there are glimpses of it too. That 38 yard run, there's just a wall of players on that left side who make a huge running lane. And it's, you look up football textbooks, I guess, if those exist. And that's kind of what that play looks like there, if you want to show it off. But it's just glimpses of that. You don't see that enough from Texas, and it's just something that is inconsistent. So, I mean, I'm not exactly sure how you create better blocking, but that's the answer. And we've kind of heard from when you hear scouts, at least over these past few years, about Texas offensive linemen, the few that have made it to the draft. Under previous regimes, they talked about the lack of technical ability, and there was a hope, I think, that Kyle Flood could get that, you know, fixed up a little bit more. And I think there's been some progress, but at the same time, like it's got to get better. I don't know if diversifying play calling helps too much, because then you're throwing a lot of different stuff on these guys' plates, and who, you know, aside from Xavier Worthy, who else do you really kind of throw at it to mix it up? I mean, you even mentioned Roshon Johnson. What, he's gotten like maybe less than a handful of touches over these past few games. And if you give him the rock, I mean, of course, Bijan Robinson can't do everything. But, you know, if you give him the rock, that's snaps taken away and touches taken away from Bijan. So I think the solution is just block better. And that's why Kyle Flood's paid $1 million to figure it out.
Obviously, the blocking's part of it. Obviously, the lack of decent options is part of it, too, with Jordan Whittington potentially out for the year now. But how concerned are you with the quarterback position, considering how Casey has looked two of the last three games?
That was a topic that came up today with Steve Sarkisian. He was asked, you know, you gave Hudson Card the hook pretty early, and, you know, you did not give Casey Thompson the hook when he was struggling. And he said that he believed Casey Thompson has, you know, earned a little bit more of the right to be able to try and dig himself out of this. But, I mean, like I mentioned with the offensive woes, if he's not going to be able to hit the downfield threats like he did against Oklahoma, that's what made his Oklahoma game so great. And that's why Texas put up 48 points. It's because he was able to hit those downfield shots to Josh Moore, to Xavier Worthy, and to Josh Moore again. I mean, I'm just trying to think back. It was really just the Marcus Washington pass. I can't think of any other downfield shot that was effective. So if that's not falling, then the entire effectiveness of the offense kind of falls apart. So the best bet at quarterback right now is for Casey Thompson to, you know, show up like he did against Texas Tech and Oklahoma, and be the guy who can hit those downfield passes and trust that, and sometimes that trust is rare to come by, but, you know, he needs to be able to hit those downfield passes, and that's just not what happened this past week against Oklahoma State.
Hey, Joe, before we let you go, I know a lot of people that follow recruiting were really interested in this past weekend. Big group of guys, talented players in town, and obviously the one named Manning had everybody's attention. Anything you could tell fans about how everything went for Arch Manning and that crew?
Yeah, so obviously we had several updates, both from the inside Texas staff and the On3 national team on Arch Manning's visit. It, by all accounts, it went well. And this is someone who is somewhat familiar with Austin. He made a trip to Austin back in June, I believe, for an unofficial visit. This was an unofficial visit as well as a junior. And it wasn't just Arch Manning. There's a lot of different players there who he is close with, including DeSoto's Jonte Cook from that class. But as far as Arch goes, you know, this is it seems as if with him, the boxes are checked when it comes to, you know, the university and life in Austin and that type of thing. What Steve Sarkisian needs to do is start to check the box for football. That's one thing, not to say that went poorly, because, as you know, we tell on Inside Texas a lot, recruits don't live and die by the result of one game, by fans do. It's just something that's a little bit unknown at this juncture. And that's a tough thing to compete with when you got a team like Georgia looking like the clear national title contender right now and being the biggest contender, I think, for Arch Manning's commitment. So, but we have covered that recruitment extensively before and after the visit. There's plenty of stuff over on Inside Texas right now with more background. But simple answer to that question, you know, kids, it has to, something has to go drastically wrong for anybody to not enjoy their official or a visit. Nothing went drastically wrong, and Texas continued to make a good impression on not just Arch, but the entire Manning family.
And that's all that Georgia team needs with that defense is a Manning on the other side. Good grief. That's Joe Cook, Inside Texas on 3.com. Go to Twitter and follow him at JosephCook89. We talk to him every Monday about this time. Joe, enjoy your off week. Best of luck to your Astros, and we'll talk next week about Baylor.
Awesome, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Joe.
Good stuff there. Texas getting ready for a little rest, a little relaxation, and then it's Baylor. By the way, it's 11 o'clock. I wish I was kidding. It is. It's five straight. ABC grabs the 11 o'clock kick. Texas and Baylor.
We need to put a stop to this.
Oh, you are. You're going to join the SEC in a few years, and that game will be at 6.
Even the SEC, I'm seeing a lot of games happen at 11 to 2:30. We need more night games. College football is at its best when you get a home crowd at night. Baylor is having a serious disservice done to it by sticking this game at 11 a.m. This should be a night game.
Man, they are going to – and the good news you would think – is that you don't give them as much of a chance, the Baylor crowd, to rev up all day and all that kind of stuff. But, Trey, I don't care when you play that game, they are so going to be ready for that one.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, they get the off week, too. They're not playing this week either. Same rest for both teams.
So they will be ranked and Texas won't be.
That's correct. Exactly. Because they got in, with this past game, right? Upsetting 19? BYU was sitting at 19.
Yes, and I want to say they're somewhere around 20 now.
And they jumped in. That's actually, I'm glad you said that because I had forgotten to look. That was a team I meant to look at earlier. They got in at 20. You're right. They jumped in at 20.
UTSA is now ranked in the top 25.
Of course they are. Hey, they're 7-0.
Oh, they're good.
Come on.
Jeff Traylor is a great head coach. He's going to move on to bigger and better things at some point.
Purdue sneaks in at 25, UTSA 24, and Pitt with Mr. Pickett at quarterback, who plays Clemson this week. Pay attention to that game. They're 5-1. They are number 23 in the new rankings. Also, SMU up two slots to number 21. But the Longhorns, as of now, are playing the number 20-ranked Baylor team on the road. And, yes, it's another 11 a.m. kick. Up next, October 18th, a little bit of the 17th, and why it matters to us. We've got some big-time birthdays for you. One of Trey's favorites has a birthday. One of your broadcasting favorites has a birthday. And probably one of your head coaching favorites, too. We'll get to all of that on a Monday as we try to unpack everything from the Longhorns' loss to the Cowboys' win to whatever in the world Patrick Mahomes' brother was doing over the weekend. All of that and more. A lot of good baseball action, too. We'll set you up for the Astros game before we get out of here on the Horn.
Shirts and skins.
There, I thought they dug up some more Bowie tracks. What do you got, Trey?
This is La Luz, Lazy Eyes, and Dune.
All right, new music out there for you. It hits on Fridays. Santana and Chris Stapleton's been my favorite track we've heard today. California Honey Drops tune was good. The Wombats even sounded pretty good. If I was their manager, I would have told them to go to another name, but what are you going to do? It's pretty good sound, though, and La Luz there with a new track for you. And remember, musically, got a big week coming out at COTA. Huge for you race fans to get out there for F1, but also Billy Joel coming to town, the piano man out on the super stage at COTA. Definitely make sure to check that out. Plus, tonight in sports, if you want it, you got a nice little back and forth with Monday Night Football, Buffalo and Tennessee. Bills trying to go to 5-1. Some people think they might be the best team in the league right now. and the Astros and Red Sox are going to try to decide who goes up 2-1. That's on FS1 at 7 o'clock.
Chad, I need Josh Allen and Derrick Henry to be the best versions of themselves tonight to win my fantasy matchup.
So you need like a 52-50 battle with those two guys accounting for everything.
That would help.
All right.
That would help. I don't know if I would need that many points in that situation, but I do need about 36 right now. Okay. So those two guys collectively are very capable of.
Give me a quick thought on this. ALCS, NLCS and ALCS, I'm reminded that they go 2-3-2. Are you in favor of that, or would you rather them go 2-2-1-1-1 in baseball?
I'm always a bigger fan of the 2-2-1-1-1 than the 2-3-2. I mean, we're not taking trains to get to the other city anymore.
Yeah. The Braves being up 2-0, that, of course, means that has to go back to Atlanta. But now with Boston getting that one win, they don't have to come back to Houston. They got 3 straight games in Fenway. They can close the door on them if they can win all the games.
They definitely can. That's still a very difficult thing to do in baseball, though.
It is.
This time of year.
But just remember that. 3 straight games coming in Boston and in L.A. And remember, the Braves had leads over the Dodgers last year and blew it. So right now, that is not necessarily the most comfortable position to be, although the Dodgers have lost 2 wild, crazy last at-bat games, and that kind of momentum can be big in baseball. We'll see what happens in the ALCS tonight. Let's go Why Today Matters. It's October 18th, kids. Here we go.
Why Today Matters, brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialist. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialist, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
All right, Trey, why don't you go ahead and give her some credit? She's one of your favorites. Is it today's her birthday or yesterday was her birthday?
Today is her birthday.
All right.
One of my all-time favorite Amazonians, and I apologize if that offends anybody, but it's positive stereotyping, right? Lindsey Vonn. God, I love Lindsey Vonn.
Just big, tall, beautiful, athletic
blonde.
Woman.
Yeah.
Blonde.
Not even always a big fan of blondes necessarily, but something about that does it for me too. Lindsey Vonn, tip of the cap to her.
Lindsey is attractive, talented, the whole thing. And if you like Lindsey, if you like Trey and you like her, if you haven't seen that documentary they did on her career on HBO, it was really good. She opened up about all kinds of stuff in terms of what it takes. Those Olympic athletes, we forget sometimes, man. We don't see them for years and years at a time, and they're off doing World Cup stuff for her and different events, but they take you through that whole process. But she is she's something else. And was she and Tiger were a year or two, right, that they dated?
She and Tiger, she and P.K. Subban from the NHL, I think,
were
a thing
right.
for a while.
That is right.
She is officially 37 years old now.
Dude, if she and P.K. Subban, not that if she and Tiger didn't, but if she and either of those guys had like multiple children, you talk about taking over the world. Mm-hmm. You talk about the genetic sports lottery.
Yeah.
A, neither of those guys is ugly. B, the athletic talent that could be spread out of those kids. It's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
All the stuff that she could do, the skill set of a Tiger, the mental acuity of the Tiger's side of things. Subban's a beast. Oh, that's incredible. That's incredible. Happy birthday to Lindsey Vonn today. Sports-wise, Keith Jackson would have been 93 years old today. He died back in 2018. So rest in peace and shout out to one of the great broadcasters ever. Washington State for Keith Jackson. I never knew that one.
Yes, an RIP happy birthday to a guy who was clearly rooting against Texas in the 2005 national championship.
Oh, I don't know if that was it. I just don't think he thought they were going to win. Rooting against, I'm not sure is how to say it. He did not think they were going to win, though. I'll give you that one.
He was not happy when Vince Young scored that final touchdown.
Man, that was a wild game to listen to. Dan Fouts was awesome that night. Thank God Dan Fouts was there.
Fouts balanced it out nicely.
He really did. Mike Ditka is 82 years old today. Hopefully he is doing well. That is Pitt, by the way, if you don't know the old school, Mike Ditka.
Okay.
He's been hardcore his whole life, and he is 82 years old today. Also, Trey, let's send good messages out to a former Longhorn. Yesterday was Steve McMichael's birthday. He's 64 now.
Oh, great. You're on the hook for 2 weeks with Steve McMichael.
No, not at all.
You just...
Steve McMichael, we just had Dan Hampton on. Steve McMichael's been diagnosed with ALS, and he is battling that right now. So yesterday was his 64th birthday. Happy birthday to Mongo.
Yeah, Norm MacDonald would have had a birthday yesterday. Eminem would have had a birthday, or does have a birthday. Now I'm on the hook for Eminem for the next 2 weeks. How about that?
How about, yeah, and by the way, you see the Eminem number 49? You want to know why he's doing the Super Bowl halftime? Because he's just almost completely sterile to the world. Just almost. Because 50-year-old rappers don't scare anybody. That's how old we are now, Trey. Eminem's going to do the Super Bowl halftime, and it'll be completely antiseptic and awful to people like me that want to hear them do what they really do. Yeah, Eminem will be 50 next year. Well, that's not right.
It's also been a long time since he's been stuck in the slums of Detroit.
Oof.
Fantasizing about killing his wife.
It's good. Oh my God.
It's hard to maintain that persona when you achieve that level of success.
It's a great track.
It's like David Spade, who I'm not a big fan of David Spade's stand up necessarily, but he had a good line at one point about Michael Stipe trying to sound as down and out when he was, as REM was like the biggest rock band on the planet.
Yeah.
They'd clearly gotten rich off of it.
It's hard. It's hard to do. My favorite line about it was, it's Dave Mustaine from Megadeth. How can you be, talking about Metallica, how can you be angry when there's an elevator in your house?
Exactly.
See, it's like, that's the best way I've ever heard it expressed. But yeah, that's kind of what happened. So good for all those guys. They're going to get paid a lot of money to do the Super Bowl halftime. I'm going to hate every second of it except Mary J. Blige. Every bit of it other than her is going to piss me off.
We need to Facebook Live your live reaction to what's going on the screen.
Okay.
Just need your commentary. Oh, we need you to go Mystery Science 3000 on the Super Bowl halftime show.
I'm going to be so upset. So upset.
Oh, I know.
Oh, my God.
The lack of language alone is going to get at you.
It's going to be awful. They might as well just pick a bunch of clean songs that aren't theirs. Just pick some REM tunes. Do Shiny Happy People. If you're going to go, let's go. Let's just cover a bunch of safe songs. Cover some Debbie Boone. Somebody do Debbie Boone's You Light Up My Life, right? Let Jay-Z handle that one. Eminem can sing some Olivia Newton-John hits. The Carpenter. Who can do a good Carpenter's tune? Can we do that one? Can I have, is it Ice Cube that's part of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, can I have Ice Cube do the Why Do Birds Suddenly Appear?
Come on.
Every time, hey, Super Bowl, you are near. That's what I want.
Okay,
let's do it.
That would actually be an interesting halftime show, but I still want to hear them do some of their hits, albeit a clean version.
Oh, brother. All right. We'll see what that live edit sounds like. Also, Trey, a local legend, had a birthday yesterday. Mike Judge turned 59. Beavis and Butthead.
God, I love Mike Judge.
Office Space. I've now seen Idiocracy thanks to you and the movie review. He's a genius. He's brilliant. I love Mike Judge.
Yeah, he's done some great TV as well. He had the show Silicon Valley.
I never got into that.
Great show.
Every time I would see little clips, it looked great. I love those guys, too, the actors I love.
Great show. Wasn't Beavis and Butthead supposed to make a comeback, too?
Oh,
are they working on new episodes?
Dude, there was talk of the Beavis and Butthead.
That may still be in the works.
Is there somebody in your family that Beavis and Butthead rings true with? Like, they really enjoyed it more than you thought? Anybody along the line really, really enjoy that?
No, because that would have been me, because I was in the prime for Beavis and Butthead, and there were some moments on that show that were mildly amusing to me, but I was never the biggest Beavis and Butthead fan.
The weirdest group that I didn't expect that was going to like Beavis and Butthead, boomers. I never expected baby boomers to like Beavis and Butthead.
Huh?
My dad, who's now 75, loved Beavis and Butthead.
Huh. Your dad also has very unique music sensibilities for his age.
You're so right. But then my wife, we go out to this beach house years and years ago where the family gets, this group gets together, and it's like her second family, and they brought her in and all that stuff. They're best friends in the world. And they're these older guys, and what are they talking about? Beavis and Butthead. The old guys, the dads, the granddads in this group, they're over in the corner going, ha. Like, wow. Like, I don't know that Mike Judge ever would have dreamed that it could have been that. Mm. That he would have hit the older crowd a little. Not that the rest of us didn't like it, but my dad would record Beavis and Butthead and go back and watch it.
I've tried so hard to get Mike Judge on this radio station.
Oh, I would love
if
to
we
talk
ever
to
get
Mike.
To speak with him. That'd be a great question to ask him.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, yeah. The people that like Beavis and Butthead that he didn't expect. But happy birthday to Mike Judge yesterday. Also, if you're a Cheers fan, Norm from Cheers did it again. He had a birthday. George Wendt is not dead, and I swear
I'm on the hook for two.
I'm
now.
Not trying to kill him. George Wendt
and Steve. Steve McMichael.
Was 73 years old yesterday. Happy birthday to George Wendt. Guaranteed not to come on this show now. All right, coming up, stems and seeds. We'll get you ready for the action tonight, and we're continuing to try to figure out what the heck happened to the Longhorns. Plus, Ed O is out at LSU eventually. Who's going to be in? This is The Horn.
Shirts and skins.
I like it. What do you got, Trey?
About some Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats. New song is called Love Don't to finish off today's music selections.
That's a band that I'm so glad is hit. I'm so glad they've gotten successful.
Yes.
I saw them on Saturday Night Live, and I'm like, that's just authentic, real band. Nobody created that band, right? You couldn't make that band up.
Nope.
That has to be the real deal. That is a talented group. Always makes me feel good when I hear that music. Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats. And you know I'm a big fan of And The Bands. It's a great name. The Night Sweats.
The Night Sweats is one of the best of those.
See, I'd have given them the thumbs up and then turned to those Wombat guys and gone, all right, fellas, let's just take another trip around. Just go out, have a good time, come back to me with something else. We can't be the Wombats. It's got to be something else.
Or it's something, something, and the Wombats.
Now, that's different. Right, exactly.
Paul Hogan and the Wombats.
Thank you. Crocodile Dundee and the Wombats. That's Not a Knife and the Wombats. Hot Blonde by the Water and the Wombats. Now we got something. That could be good. All right. Hope you're having a good Monday. Coming up, it is RBKD, Rod and Kevin with their thoughts, and you know they'll have them on Texas and Oklahoma State as the Longhorns fall to 4-3 and 2-2 in conference play. Let's start stems and seeds with the Baylor kickoff time. You're not going to like it here.
No stress, no seeds, no stems, no sticks.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. Yep, it's another 11 a.m. kick. That'll be five in a row, four by week, then 11 a.m. in Waco for Texas and Baylor. That is the bad news. Good news for you Texas fans is the basketball team is AP top five to start the year. Preseason AP poll comes out. Texas is at number five. Also good news if you're a Cowboys fan. They say they are optimistic about this MRI of Dak Prescott's calf. He was able to joke about it, Trey, after the game and say, yeah, I just wanted to give you guys something to mess with during the off week. Something for you to speculate about. But he was in good spirits. But it's obviously one of those things that, you know, number four is kind of important. So Cowboys fans might worry a little bit.
Still would be a little bit worried if I'm a Cowboys fan.
Yeah, always. Man, again, a game where Tyron Smith ended up that banged up and walking off the field and coming back, you need to enjoy the bye week. Take a breath, breathe in, breathe out, enjoy that bye week.
But timed nicely.
But do not say the words super and or bowl to any friend you have. Just enjoy it right now. There's a long way to go. You're 5-1. Calm down. You didn't beat a great team.
Yeah, I would even express a reluctance to, or I would be reluctant to express any sort of enthusiasm or joy about the halftime show at the Super Bowl this year. Like, I wouldn't even be talking about the halftime show, much less the game itself.
No, definitely not. Don't talk about that either. Don't we talk about that? I think they've only beaten one team that, to me, is great at times, and that's the Chargers.
Tampa.
They didn't beat them.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
They should have, but they didn't.
They should have. Yeah, Carolina's got some issues right now. A lot of that's going to fall on Sam Darnold's shoulder for those Monday morning quarterbacks today, but I watched a fair amount of that game. His receivers were letting him down left and right, too.
Yep, just got to go win that division. Focus on that. Enjoy your bye week. Astros, Red Sox tonight at 7. Buffalo, Tennessee tonight at 7:15. Trey, do the Bills go to 5-1?
Yes, it looks like A.J. Brown may not play this game. He's come down with some sort of undisclosed illness.
Interesting. I agree with you. I think even on the road, they're going to get it done. That's a good team. I think this will be a nice statement kind of game for them. Buffalo trying to go 5-1 tonight. All right, we'll be back for a Tuesday show tomorrow, continuing to unpack everything as the bye week rolls on. We'll unpack even more college and pro football tomorrow. Rod Babers, Kevin Dunn coming up, and their thoughts on what happened to the Longhorns and what's happening moving forward. Keep it right here on the Horn.